680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Wednesday, June 12th. Wow. Flying by, huh? You realize we'll hit the middle of June come this weekend? Wow. Yeah. And we are a little over a week away from the longest day of the year. First day of summer. That's Friday of next week. But already, we've got the really early morning sunrise, well before 6 a.m., and it's almost 9 o'clock before the sun goes down. And it's especially nice when you get a couple of clear days in a row. Yesterday, gorgeous. Today, we may see the clouds building in here a little more as we move through the afternoon, but still a beautiful day. And daylight hours, you know, if you're up early in the morning, even well before sunrise, you can see where you're going. It's nice. Nice time of the year. Enjoy it while it's here. A couple of program notes. Day after tomorrow, we're taking the It's Your Turn program on the road. We'll be broadcasting live from Lake Arthur Country Club, just north of Butler, near the shores of Lake Arthur. So that'll be on Friday. And a quick note, too, about a guest that we had on a couple of weeks ago. Remember when we chatted with Jason Cherry, a local historian, author? We were talking about his latest book on the fort that was built at, well, what they called the Forks of the Ohio at the time, later Fort Duquesne, and then even later Fort Pitt. Pittsburgh's Lost Outpost, Captain Trent's Fort, the name of the book. Jason Cherry, really nice guy. He's going to be signing copies of his new book this Saturday at the Butler Area Public Library. He'll be there for a couple of hours starting at 11 a.m. So if you're in the area, you want to stop by, say hi to Jason Cherry, and if you want to pick up one of his books, he'll sign it for you. That's this Saturday. Okay, coming up in just a moment or so, we'll talk with our first guest. She'll visit with us on the telephone. Her name is Rosalie Maggio. We're going to be talking about a remarkable woman, a remarkable French woman. I had not heard of this woman before. Marie Marvault, but when I got a hold of Rosalie Maggio's book, I couldn't believe a real Renaissance woman. She did so many things, and so many dangerous things, and so many adventurous things for a woman of her time. Well, we'll find out about Marie Marvault coming up in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, where you can take any items that you have to ship, and they'll pack them up and ship them out for you. Very, very convenient, very affordable, very fast, too. I've utilized their services. You can ship FedEx or UPS or U.S. Postal Service, whatever you desire. That's your choice. But at Going Postal Butler, they'll pack things up and ship them for you. They also offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday, Going Postal Butler is located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. And that's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on the Newcastle Road here in Butler. Call them at 724-841-0044. That's Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
I think you're going to be interested, listeners, in the next segment here on It's Your Turn today. I'm certainly anxious to talk to our guest. She is Rosalie Maggio, and she has written a biography of Marie Marvault, a woman that I've never heard of before, but a fascinating person. First of all, Rosalie, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks, Dave. You too. Pittsburgh is one of my favorite places.
Oh, and I know we're talking to you out on the West Coast, so we're pretty far away here, close to 3,000 miles, I guess, huh?
Yes. Technology is an amazing thing.
The title of your book, The Story of Marie Vaugnat, is called Fiancé of Danger. Marie was the first female bomber pilot, a world-class athlete, and the inventor of the air ambulance. My goodness, Rosalie, why have I not heard of this woman before?
Well, that's what kept me going. Do you know, I've been working on her life for 39 years now, and when I first saw what she had done, and what you've listed is just a, you know, it's just a small part of it, I thought it was a joke. I had been to college, for example, and I thought I would have heard of this woman had it been for real. And then I found her obituary in the New York Times, which we know is a very serious publication, and I thought, well, heavens. I wanted to know why she's been forgotten, and I did uncover a number of reasons for that. One, oddly enough, by the way, she is the most amazing woman that most people, not just you, anybody, even in France, have never heard of. So amazing that I'm not the only one that thought she was a hoax. But you know what the problem with her was? She did too much. Actually, that sounds silly, but she did so much. For example, if she'd only set the first women's aviation records and only been a bomber pilot and only did all these aviation things, we would remember her like as we do Amelia Earhart and some other people. If she'd only been a nurse and invented a surgical suture as well as the ambulance airplane, she'd be another Florence Nightingale. If she'd only been an amazing athlete, by the way, she's one of the top 10 female athletes of all time, and she's the only person in the world who ever got a gold medal for being good at all sports. It's you just have to laugh after a while. She did everything. Anyway, then she'd be remembered like Babe Didrikson Zaharias, you know. But she did so much that no group said, wow, this is our hero. And then there was always the problem of, was this true? And this biography, writers don't often get to be very sarcastic in print. I mean, secretly sarcastic. But I have about 60 pages of bibliography at the back of the book. I don't expect anyone to look at it. But I wanted to say, look, here are newspapers of her day, eyewitnesses to everything she did. It's written up in the papers. Those were the days when we believed everything we read and so on. Anyway, point is, people didn't know that. They've only recently digitized a lot of old publications, and that allowed me to see where this woman was almost every day of her life, because she was thoroughly covered by all the newspapers of her time. And by the way, that's what she wants back. I'll just tell you, she's dead, but not very. She wants to have back the, not fame, certainly I don't think she was into that, but she wants to be known for what she did again as she was in her lifetime. And that, unfortunately, has been my job. I've tried to pawn her off on other people, and she just won't let go. So I hope she's happy with this book now. Anyway, the hoax thing was a big problem in remembering her. Every time someone would bring up, well, you know, she did this, they'd say, well, yeah, right. And so, you know, people just dismiss her. Well, I've gone back and seen in multiple newspaper articles. Sometimes she'd be in, she'd been three or four newspapers the same day for different things, and day after day after day they'd mention her. So, you know what, she was just did too much. Then she lived too long. You know, heroes, the ones we remember, die young and beautiful. That seems to be fairly standard. Mm-hmm. She lived to be 88, and she got to be kind of a crotchety old woman, and when she'd tell people, you know, I did this, they'd say, oh, right, you know, and they would avoid her. So she lived too long. Oh, she was a woman. That didn't help, because they didn't even include women in the record books in those days. So she did too much. She lived too long. She was a woman. And there was always this thing about the hoax that maybe it wasn't really true. So, yeah, I hope we... And if you can't remember her name, by the way, just remember Fiancée of Danger. She's the only person who's ever been called that. Although the British called her the Bride of Danger, and I don't think she liked that. She did not want to ever be married. She said, I could never do all that I do if I were married. Hmm. And in those days, she's probably right. So...
Marie Marvault, what about it, listeners? Have you ever heard of this woman before? She was born in 1875, died in 1963. Rosalie, how did you stumble across her? Was it an accident, or did somebody ask you about her? What got you going on this?
Well, I saw a little paragraph in 1980 that said she was the most incredible woman since Joan of Arc. And, of course, my reaction was, oh, get out of here. That's not even possible. Here's an odd, the odd coincidence is that I had attended the University of Nancy in France for 1 year. I left school there, I arrived there for my university year, 1 year after she died. So when I found this and realized she had lived in Nancy, France, I knew a lot of people there, and I knew the town. And so I was able to go back there, and lots of people helped me do the research. So maybe the point in common was that, well, I'm also fluent in French, so I was able to go back there to where I'd gone to school for postgrad year, and knew people who would help, knew the newspaper. We put articles in about her, and people would send me stories, and I'd interview people. So that was very, that was unusual. Nancy, France isn't some city that most people know, or, you know, visit, so on. Paris is a thing. So that made it easier for me. And she just, I'm not a biographer. I've written 22 other books, and none of them are biographies, and I didn't want to do this, but somehow it just seemed, you know, sometimes you have to do things. They just are given to you or something. So but what interested me was more than what she had done. She reads like a Guinness Book of World Records. I mean, mountain climbing. Hey, she did the Tour de France in 1908. Well, she wasn't supposed to because there were only men allowed, but she followed the field. And there were like 112 entrants that year, and only 36 of them finished the whole tour, and 37 if you count Marie. Anyway, she did that. She dove from a dirigible into a Venetian canal. I mean, she did wild things and, you know, good things. By the way, her war activities would knock your socks off. She fought in the war disguised as a man, as a soldier. She fired on the enemy she was fired on. She was injured when they discovered she was a woman, so they kicked her out. She bombed two enemy air bases. Again, she wasn't really supposed to. They didn't allow women to be pilots, but they let her do it. She was great friends with Marshal Foch and a lot of the high General Weygand and all these big military people. She was very good friends with them, and so they let her do stuff that they wouldn't have normally let other people. And then she nursed during the war. She spied for information. She was allowed to go give talks about her ambulance airplane, and she'd go to visit air bases and you know, airplane factories and stuff like that, and she'd carry back information. And she also was part of an Alpine troops where they would ski up into the Alps provisions and ski out wounded soldiers from their positions in the Alps. I mean, the woman was a maniac. She just did everything. And, well, by the way, if you want to know how, she always said she only slept 2 to 4 hours a night, and other people reported that too, and I thought, well, yeah, everybody exaggerates, even although most of it's true. I didn't believe that. But I found a couple years ago, the researchers have found there's a class of people called short sleepers. There's about 1% of the population sleeps, only needs 2 to 4 hours a night. I was so bitter when I read that. I wanted to be one of them, but I'm not. Anyway, she was, and she really did only need a couple hours of sleep a night. So she was learning and doing and traveling. And she came to the United States twice, and in fact, she and Amelia Earhart gave talks together in Chicago to aviation groups and so on. I have a picture of them together.
We're talking, listeners, about Marie Marvault, a French woman. I suppose it's still kind of incredible that she's not known at all here in the United States, given all of her accomplishments. Is she that anonymous in France, or do her country people know more about her, Rosalie?
No, they say over there that we know more about her, which is a joke because no, they don't. I was shocked when I went back that few people in France even have heard of her. I'm from California, so at the Mission Inn in Riverside, California, a famous old mission, they have a Flyers Chapel, the St. Francis. And by the way, that's because St. Francis loved the birds, right? Get it? So anyway, the St. Francis Chapel for Flyers has these copper wings that famous flyers autographed and hung there. And Marie's wings are there with Amelia Earhart's and Eddie Rickenbacker's and John Glenn's and other, you know, famous people. But she was in that class. In fact, in many ways, she was a pioneer. She set the first aviation records in the world for women. And she was the third woman in the world to get her pilot's license. So she was a really early pilot. In fact, they say that in those days, if you flew, everybody who went up in the air, about 87% of them came down dead. I mean, it was a vicious. That's why, well, if you can't remember how to spell her name or anything, remember Fiancé of Danger, because if you Google that, you can get to her. And I have a website called MarieMarvant.com that shows pictures. So anyone doesn't want to buy the book, fine. Just go to the website and you can read about her and see some pictures of her and so on. And
I have a couple of more questions.
She's kind of a fun person to know. So
I have a couple more questions, listeners. I got to squeeze in a quick break here, but we'll be back and talk just a little bit more with Rosalie Maggio, author of Marie Marvault, Fiancé of Danger. Back right after these words. Well, don't forget now, you backyard gardeners, the folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard would love to help you out, help out a little bit with some fresh produce come the harvest season. It won't be too much longer now until backyard gardeners will begin gathering things from their garden. Now, some of the stuff will be ways yet before we harvest it, but they will soon, in July, start their weekly collection program. They've done this for several years now, and it's been tremendously successful. Can you imagine how nice it is for needy families and folks who rely on the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard to be able to get some fresh produce, fresh vegetables? You know, because most of the stuff in the food cupboard is non-perishable. They're not asking for a whole lot. No, maybe a little bit from a plant or two at the end of the row for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We'll tell you about the details of their collection program in a few weeks, but right now they just like you to remember to think about it. Yeah, dedicate a plant or two, a tomato plant or two, or a pepper plant or two to the food cupboard at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. They like to say, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Put on your boogie shoes and get ready to dance the night away when the Platinum Band comes to the Tanglewood Entertainment Center on Saturday, June 15th. You'll relive some of the greatest hits from the 70s and 80s, but just when you think it's over, that's when the Motown and R&B kick in. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are only $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's the Platinum Band at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center, Saturday, June 15th. Call 724-287-7021 for tickets.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone, Rosalie Maggio, who has written a fascinating book about a fascinating woman. The title is Marie Marvel, Fiancé of Danger. You mentioned that she, disguised as a man, had fought in World War One, and she was still alive, of course, in World War Two. She didn't die until 1963. Did she participate at all in World War Two, Rosalie?
Oh, thank you for asking me that. It's just come to light. People always, she was a resistance. She got a medal with a star, which means she did some really important work in the resistance in World War II. And there's a plaque up in one of the villages in France that says we honor her for her resistance work. So yes, in World War II, she was working on her ambulance airplane. She was nursing again. She was a surgical nurse and very good at that. Anyway, but she also was in the resistance. She founded a home for wounded aviators. She always said that pilots were her brothers. And so she had this little home. And in this, while she was at the home, she would do resistance work. There was a cell of resistance workers in that area. So, yeah, she never stopped working. She was very patriotic. She also was very active in the, I put this in quotes, okay, pacification of North Africa. She traveled with the Italian troops, with the Spanish troops, with the French troops. She was an air observer. You know, they'd fly over places to see what was going on. She was a nurse. She was making contacts with different people. She was a liaison for... Anyway, she was very involved, and I'm not... What was a struggle for her was she was a nurse, and when you'd ask her of all the things she had done, what she most liked, she'd say, you know what, nursing, healing the sick, you know, making the wounded comfortable. That was her real love. So here she was, fighting in wars, shooting, bombing, whatever else she did, and yet she was saving lives, and while she was saving the life of a soldier, she knew he was probably going to go back into battle. So that was kind of that was hard for her, but she was patriotic. If France was in a war, she was going to be there and use all her skills and so on. But that was troubling for her to be a nurse and a warrior. Anyway, but yes, she was active in World War II, but her resistance, see, I tried to find out about that for years. People would say, oh yes, she was, you know, involved in espionage and so on. I couldn't find out any truth, and I couldn't find out any facts about it. And people say, well, you know, we don't talk about that. That's why you can't find out anything. But just recently, now that the war has been over long enough, things are coming out. And we're finding out, a fellow found the medal that she got for being in the resistance. Mm. So she was a woman of many parts, and just her ambulance airplane alone, you know, you think it makes so much sense to us. She was a nurse and she was a pilot, so she thought in 1909, it occurred to her, oh my gosh, we should fly to the wounded and fly the wounded to the hospitals. It just seems so absolutely sensible, and you wouldn't believe the trouble she had getting her idea made into fact. And the reason was, well, for example, in those early, I love the early days of aviation, the stories. Oh, just one. I'm sorry, because I think it's funny, but during World War One, a French pilot came back with a hole in his wing, and he said, that darn German threw a brick at me. I mean, planes were flown so low, and so, you know, it was really primitive. Marie said, you know, to see if a plane even left the ground, you had to get down on all fours and look. They were flying with just these rickety, terrible things. But anyway, flying was, if you looked in the newspaper, you had to look under sports to find aviation news in the beginning years. They thought it was a sport. So when she, it would be like Marie said, hey, golfing can save lives.
Yeah.
That was what it felt like to them.
World War One, of course, still the very early days of aviation. It's the first time that airplanes were used as either fighters or, as you say, somebody came up with the idea of dropping bombs from them. Again, this would have been primitive, but here was Marie again on the forefront, the cutting edge. Were you able to do any research about her her young life. I would be interested to know, you know, at 7, 8, 9 years old, did she already know that she wanted to have such an adventurous life, or is there no information on that, Rosalie?
No, there is, and what's interesting is her whole life is a strange confluence of different things that worked just perfectly to make her who she was. One was that her dad was a sportsman. He played billiards, and he was a swimming champion. And, oh, he just looked forward to teaching his children his sports things. Well, three little boys died in infancy before Marie was born. Then came Marie. Then came another boy who was very sickly. He died at 18. So here, this poor guy, he's left with Marie, but he noticed that all the family's health seemed to be concentrated in her. He took her swimming before she could walk. He took her mountain climbing, swimming every day. When she was 4, she could swim 4 kilometers. I mean, she was astonishing. Well, he was pumped. So he bought her, you know, one of the first bicycles ever. He was always in the, you know, cheering her on. Now, I must say he was a little hard on her. He was always saying, oh, Marie, you could have, once when she flew across the North Sea in a balloon, he said, you could have gone farther, Marie, onto Ireland. And, well, anyway, that's the way he was. Now, her mother died when Marie was 14, and Marie had to take care of the house, her dad, and her little sickly brother. And so she had to do all the housework, and I tell you, she conceived a hatred for, she was good at it because she was good at everything she did, but she did not like that. So she could see she didn't want to be a traditional woman at that point, getting married. She had men friends and so on, and however you want to look at that, several of them, because she was always, you know, she was an adventurer, kind of, and she traveled, and she was often the only woman with, like, a whole platoon of soldiers or something. And they let her get away with it, which amazes me. Also, the papers, the newspapers, loved her. Normally, if a woman does stuff that, you know, she's not supposed to culturally, she gets pretty harassed and so on. But the papers had nothing but nice things. I never saw a snarky remark about her in years and years of newspaper coverage. So, but yeah, her early life marked her. Once her dad could see that she had just this energy and ability, he even let her get lessons from a local circus. So she learned to bareback ride. She was the first person to somersault on a galloping horse. Now, I have trouble believing that somewhere someone didn't somersault on a galloping horse before her, but whatever. She could do the trapeze, and she even liked to say that she could tame lions. These are things that I never saw her taming a lion in print, so I can't verify. But the thing is, her dad let her do that, a 14-year-old girl, back in, you know, right at the turn of the century, before the turn. I'm just amazed. He must have been a very forward-looking man, or a very open-minded guy to let a daughter do that. But she canoed, she won a canoe race all by herself. She wasn't chaperoned or anything when she was 14. Anyway, yeah, her early life shows, I mean, the lack of a mother and then having to take over the house duties kind of marked her. And then her dad just let her do anything that, you know, girls didn't normally do. So, and he lived, oddly enough, their lifespans were only a couple of months different. He also lived to be 88.
Wow.
Like she did.
A most remarkable woman, that's for sure, that I dare say most Americans have never heard of, Marie Marvon. By the way, my French is not very good, so her last name is spelled Marvingt. Remember this, because if you're looking for Rosalie Maggio's book, Marie Marvon, Fiancé of Danger, if you look that up, you'll find it, right, Rosalie?
Yes, Dave, thanks. And yes, she is fun. I loved her most as an old woman, but you'll see, I tried to make the book fun to read as she was, as it was for me to find out about her, and tried to use a lot of her own words, because people don't know her. I don't want to be just telling them, oh, she did this, she did that. So I use her own words, and she had plenty of them. Forgot to tell you, she was a journalist. She filed hundreds of stories with various newspapers. She'd cover either the news about her own self or about other people and so on. But so that's where a lot of her words come from, and you can tell what she's like from the way she wrote and everything. So I'm sure there are other things I forgot to tell you that she did. It's just, I can't even remember them all.
Well, Rosalie, it's been a delight. Been a delight to talk with you, that's for sure, and really interesting to learn about this remarkable woman. Our guest, Rosalie Maggio, M-A-G-G-I-O. Rosalie, nice to chat with you today. Thanks for spending some time with us here.
Thank you, Dave. Your questions were wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you for that.
Bye.
Sure. So long.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long, stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park-and-ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers, and I believe in CCC and medical marijuana because we are changing patients' lives in a positive way each and every day. Compassionate Certification Centers is a physician-owned clinic that helps certify patients in PA for their medical marijuana license. Please contact Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or register online at cccregister.com.
Remember when your dad took you to softball or baseball practices or softball or baseball games? Well, now's your chance to pay him back. You can take dad out to the ball game. WISR is having a Father's Day sweepstakes between June 10th and 14th, where we'll pick one winner each day during Coffee with Kate. All you have to do is be the correct caller, and you can win a pair of Pirates tickets for the June 18th game against the Detroit Tigers. It's a great way to pay dad back by taking him out to the ball game.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. And we welcome two more guests to chat with us on the next segment of the program. Melissa Leedy is here from the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. It's good to see you again, Melissa.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes. And also with us is Lisa Hunt, who is with the U.S. Ex Federal Credit Union. Lisa, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here as well.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you, too.
We're going to be talking to you about the Helping Young Professionals Excel program, right?
Yes. Yes, it's a program of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Known as HYPE, H-Y-P-E.
We like to make it simple. Helping Young Professionals Excel is really long to put on a business card.
Indeed, that's quite a mouthful. Well, we'll talk about that here momentarily. We want to get an update from Melissa, first of all, on activities and events with the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. You have a bunch of stuff coming up here in the very near future, including day after tomorrow. You have orientation.
We do.
What's that all about?
So that is an open invitation for anybody who wants to know more about all the different programs and services that the chamber offers. So that's anything from discount programs, from health insurance to office supplies, to understanding the resources that are available for small business owners and for business professionals in our footprint.
Is there still time to sign up for that?
There is, and there's no attendance RSVP requirement for that. So come on down. It is at our corporate office in Wexford. It's on Brook Tree Road. We have our own building there, and it is from 1 to 2:30.
Yes, the corporate offices of the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber are in Wexford. And I was looking at your website. It says North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. From Pittsburgh to Butler. And that's kind of your footprint, huh? Actually, it's bigger than that.
Yeah, it's pretty large. In our footprint, in our geography, we have over 1,000 businesses who are members of our Chamber of Commerce. So our footprint, like you said, is right by Butler. We go all the way through Zeeley and Opal, Cranberry, Wexford, Ross, and we bleed a little bit into the Robinson area as well. So we do cover a very large geography.
Anything of Beaver County right next door there?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of Beaver as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's North Pittsburgh after all. Yeah, yeah. So this member benefits orientation is this Friday. Is there a charge for that, by the way?
There is no charge.
Do you have to sign up in advance?
No, you do not.
Just stop in, huh?
Just stop in.
And that's early afternoon.
Yeah, and we try and do it on a Friday, so that way, you know, if you wanted to sneak out early afterwards for a long weekend, you could have an excuse to do that. So,
good planning. Yeah, very good planning. You also have what's called the Summer Bash coming up, and that's next week. In fact, it's a week from today. It's next Wednesday.
Yes.
What's that all about?
So this is our second annual Summer Bash. We've partnered with another networking group called the Pittsburgh Business Exchange. We're going to be meeting at Zone 28, which is one of our members. They have a slew of different things, including a bowling alley, laser tag, private dining rooms, and drinks as well. So we'll all be getting together. We're expecting about 150 to 200 people to be in attendance for that event. And it's really just to encourage networking with everybody. Each ticket includes a drink ticket, along with a free bowling ticket as well.
And that is Wednesday of next week.
Mm-hmm. From
the
5
summer,
to 8.
The Summer Bash. Do you do this every year?
This is our second annual.
Was it pretty big last year?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So you're expecting it to be even bigger. Word of mouth. The word's getting around, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are some other things coming up that we will be talking about as we move through our program today. But I want to chat a little bit with Lisa Hunt here about the Helping Young Professionals Excel program. Are you part of this? Are you spearheading this? Or what's your connection with it, Lisa?
So it's kind of all of the above. We created this organization as a program of the chamber about 2.5 years ago. So we're still in really our infancy stage. But we saw a gap between our existing chamber members. As Melissa mentioned, we have over 1,000 members. And the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber really is regarded as one of the premier business organizations in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in about year three of a student member program, which works with our college students. We have 7 or 8 different local colleges and universities that are what we call educational stakeholders. So their students can actually join the chamber for free, take advantage of everything we have available to get them started. But we had that gap between the students and then our established members, that business people knew what they were doing, knew how to go out, network, attend business functions, and we wanted to meet that need. So that's how HYPE came about. I was a past chair of the board of directors of the chamber, and so I also became one of the founding members of HYPE.
Kind of a nice breaking of stereotypes, you know? I mean, you, first of all, you don't think of students being involved with the Chamber of Commerce, nor for that matter, young professionals that much.
Correct. And I mean, honestly, that's where we see a huge gap. With the schools and the education that the students get, it's fantastic, but there's a real disconnect and a real need for soft skills, how to go out and actually meet someone face-to-face, do business with them, and get out into the real business world. And so we wanted to provide that. There's other young professional groups out there, and they do a fantastic job, but we really wanted to tackle beyond just getting the young professionals out there in the social side and kind of provide some education and some other opportunities to help develop them into our next generation of leaders.
Do you have a strict age limit for the HYPE group?
We have no age limit. That was actually a lot of discussion. And what we came to was that if we put an age limit on it, there are people changing careers, changing fields, switching directions all the time. We didn't want to leave anyone out that we could benefit by being able to attend. If we said 40, someone that was 38 or 39 might not become involved. We actually, one of our biggest success stories would not have met an age criteria. And he went from being very shy and quiet and sitting in a corner at our first educational workshop last year to he's a phenomenal public speaker now, very active in the community, just really jumped on board. And I'm not saying it's all us, but if you could see the difference in him from last year to this year, it's incredible.
And to your point, over the past couple of generations, totally different way that we look at jobs and careers. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago when, you know, you got a job when you finished school, and that was your career. I mean, you were there until you retired. That's not so anymore. People tend to move, sometimes a drastic change in career.
They do. And I mean, if you look at the industries that are growing and thriving now, some of those industries, information technology, computer coding, they didn't exist 25 years ago. So it's really required, as you mentioned, a dramatic change in the way people look at not just what they want to do, but at should I switch careers? There's a lot of opportunity, and the Chamber really wants to be able to meet that need and help keep leaders and help keep people in the area for jobs that currently don't have anyone to fill them.
Jobs that didn't exist, jobs that people would think you were crazy. Autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars. You mentioned that to somebody 20 years ago, they'd think you were nuts.
Yeah. It's kind of scary. I'm not sure about that yet.
You have several pillars of your program. Let's talk about those a little bit.
So I mentioned we wanted to go beyond just the social. Networking is a huge part of it, and we do that very well. So networking is one of our pillars. We also have three other pillars: leadership and career development. That's a huge chunk of what we want to do, because we don't just want to turn people into exceptionally good workers. We want to help them become the leaders that this region needs. Beyond that, we want to get our members beyond just our HYPE members involved. So we have a mentoring pillar, and then we also have a philanthropy pillar. And that way, hopefully, it's tagging on to what a company is going to look for in someone that could possibly be one of their C-level employees, one of their upper management, or even creating new companies in the area to bring new jobs in.
Melissa, if you're a member of the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber, is there an extra fee to get involved with the HYPE group?
No, it's not. It's a free resource for young professionals to use to advance themselves.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, especially for young professionals, it might be, you know, when you look at Pittsburgh, the metropolitan area, gargantuan, it might be a little intimidating for a lot of folks starting out to say, how in the heck am I going to meet people? How the heck am I going to get in a city, a region of this size?
It really can be. And I mean, even beyond just the young professionals, the Chamber sees that even coming into an organization our size. So if you come to one of our events, even just as soon as you join the Chamber, one of the committees that we have volunteer members participate in is called our Ambassador Committee. And their function is literally to welcome the new members, invite them to things, get them involved, and really make them feel welcome in the Chamber, find out what they're looking for, and connect them to help get over that initial inertia when you first come into a new large group where you don't know a lot of people or you aren't familiar with it.
How long have you been involved with this program? You're really knowledgeable on it, huh?
I've actually been involved with the Chamber since I started at the credit union, so almost 8 years. The Chamber has been phenomenal for me with USX Credit Union and for me personally. And so if I find something that I believe is of value and really can give back to it, then I'll jump in wholeheartedly. Jumped in a lot more than I thought with the different committees and the board and then helping to found HYPE, but it's really, really rewarding, and I love what they do. We've been able to help a lot of people.
Lisa Hunt is with the USX Federal Credit Union. We're talking with her about the HYPE program, helping young professionals excel. We only had a few seconds to chat before we went on the air here today. Did you say that you have family in the Butler County area?
I do. I have my mom and dad live in northern Butler County in Clay Township. That's where I grew up with them and my older brother and my younger sister. My younger sister actually lives about a mile from me in Cranberry now with her husband, and my older brother abandoned the region, but he's living really, really very well with his wife and my adorable almost 2-year-old nephew in Tennessee. So,
abandoned the region?
Abandoned the region.
Your choice of verbs is interesting. Now, Clay Township, would you have gone to like Carn City or Montauk or somewhere?
I went to Montauk High School.
Montauk?
We just had our 20-year high school reunion, class of 99, on this past Saturday. Wow. So,
wow. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
We'll chat a little bit more about the HYPE program, and we also want to chat a little bit more with Melissa. We need to take a break, though, so let's do that, and we'll be back with more on this segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR right after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join. So call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Glorious Wednesday. 2 days in a row of glorious weather. We're chatting with Melissa Leedy from the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. Also with us here in the studio is Lisa Hunt from the USX Federal Credit Union. By the way, where are the headquarters for the USX Federal Credit Union? Downtown?
We are actually headquartered in Cranberry Township. Oh. We do have an office in downtown, but our corporate headquarters is in Cranberry, and then we've got 10 other branches scattered around.
I want to talk a little bit more with Melissa about upcoming events sponsored by, under the umbrella of the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. We mentioned some of them. You also have coming up in July a big mixer.
Yes, our mega mixer.
Mega mixer.
This is also our second year doing this event. Last year, we partnered with 9 Chamber of Commerces. So our chamber is about 1,000 members and 9 other chambers. This year, we're partnering with 13 chambers. So the word has gotten out that this has been a really great event and more people want to get involved. We are going to be meeting on the Gateway Clipper downtown. Last year, we had around 400 attendees. So we're anticipating that we might have to get a second boat and tie them together just because of the number of people who want to be involved, but we're more than willing to do that. It's a great opportunity to get to know a host of people, not just in your backyard, but all around the Pittsburgh region, and really get your brand and your business out there.
You may need the whole Gateway Clipper fleet.
Yeah.
with that many chambers. Well, they have several boats, right?
They do.
I'm sure they'd be happy to accommodate you. Now, that's coming up in July?
Yes, July.
So obviously still time to make arrangements to attend that.
Absolutely. And we try and be flexible with that. We start at 5 o'clock. The boat doesn't leave till 6, so don't let that be a deterrent if you don't get out of work until 5. You should have plenty of time to be able to still get down there before the boat leaves the dock. And then we come back at 7, so if you need to leave early, you can do that too. So we wanted to be accommodating to people's schedules.
Ever been on the Gateway Clipper, Lisa?
Last year for the first mega mixer.
Oh, you were there, huh?
It was fantastic. We had a little bit of rain, but didn't damper it. And, we packed that boat. So adding 4 new chambers to this, and after last year's success, I wouldn't be surprised if we do fill up 2 boats.
Something I've never done yet. I can't believe it. I've
well,
been down there many
join.
Times.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there.
I was right down on the Pittsburgh Irish Festival used to be at Station Square, right next to the launch point, the dock for the Gateway Clipper fleet, but I never took a ride. Got to do that. There's an interesting conference coming up, interesting to me, I think, Melissa, because we've talked about how important it is to have a chamber to be able to network with other businesses and people in other businesses, but a social media conference, this would seem to be something that a lot of business people would really like to know more about, the good and the bad of social media, eh?
Yeah, so our social media conference is coming up on August 6th. We pool experts from all of the industry for anything related to social media. So that can be Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, website design, development, how to manage all of that different information. And we have sessions that you can sign up for so you can learn specific topics that are interesting to your business or you want to learn more about. And the big thing is that it's a resource for a small business that maybe can't afford somebody to manage all that social media for them yet. But with those tools and resources, we'll better equip them to be able to understand how to use Facebook effectively for their business, how to manage a website, what should I look out for, what's important to me, and then hopefully that allows their business to grow because of that.
Even to be able to discern which one of these platforms you want to get involved with, because I'm sure for a lot of folks, perhaps especially of an older generation, their eyes kind of glaze over when there's so many of these social media platforms. You know, what should I be in? What do I have to be in? What's not so important? What's going to fly away? Mm-hmm. What's going to abandon us, in Lisa's words, before too much longer? Now, I'm serious, you know. A lot of folks would say, well, Facebook, okay, seems to have the staying power. Although I've read that some younger people are dropping off that because their parents are using it. Their grandparents are using it. LinkedIn, now there's one, obviously, that business people ought to be involved in, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Website management, extremely important. Have you ever looked up a company's website and it's obviously 5 years old?
Yes.
They haven't done anything with it. Sometimes even the dates are still there. Don't they ever look at this thing, you know? it's all image for there. You know, that's a bad vibe when you see that.
Yeah, and it kind of limits the amount of people that want to do business with you. So if you're trying to attract younger people, they're going to be looking up your website online. They're going to be checking you out on those social media profiles. Mm-hmm. So if you want their business, you have to kind of meet them on those platforms.
Well, that's coming up August 6th, which might sound like it's a long ways off, but here we are almost halfway through June already. There are some great events coming up, too, with the Help Young Professionals Excel program. And this would be something that you kind of alluded to earlier, Lisa Hunt, the example of one of your members who went from kind of introverted to guy off in the corner to, you know, wow, public speaker, Demosthenes, you know. You have a public speaking workshop coming up.
We do. We're really excited about it because it allows us to utilize the expertise of our members and provide that for anybody that would like to come. Last year, we did one on networking because it's not just as simple as going in and walking out of there with 60 business cards and you're a business success. So that went really well. And we did a survey for our members and asked, what would you like to see? And one of the big topics was public speaking. So we have three of our chamber members, Tracy Armstrong, the president and founder of North Pittsburgh Greeting Company, Marcy Smorey of Smorey Gigger Law, and then also Greg Hartung, the mayor of the borough of Mars, are going to each be presenting roughly 10 to 15 minutes, and they're going to cover a variety of public speaking topics, everything from your 60-second elevator speech to realizing that just because you're not in front of a group of people, you probably still are speaking in public and being judged based upon what business you represent, what organizations you're a part of. And we're going to give them an opportunity to also talk to our panel of experts and ask questions afterwards. So,
and speaking of first impressions that we were talking about on the website, There's another area. You know, it's amazing how many pretty successful business people are not good public speakers.
It really does take some practice and some training. And if you're not willing to accept someone that's willing to help you, it's going to be an impediment to you in business. You never know when your boss is going to send you out and have you talk to a potential new client, or you're going to get an email from your friend at the chamber and say, hey, would you like to come on the radio with us? So it really is something vital that you never know when that's going to be something you have to do. And if you do it well, you can really grow both yourself personally and professionally and your business. But if you don't do it well, it can really have a very negative impact.
What else do you have coming up this summer?
So we're very excited because these are events. These are both the second annual. We have a beer and ice cream social coming up in July.
Well, there's a combination for you.
it's definitely different, but it actually sold out. We were a little bit worried last year. It sold out, and we had a waiting list. And what it combines is it's a beer tasting with the ice cream. So a huge thank you to House of 1000 Beers in Warrendale and Grater's Ice Cream. They are actually partnering with us in that, and it'll give people a chance to practice, hopefully, some of their public speaking, their elevator pitches, while at the same time tying into that social networking side of it. Mm-hmm. So that'll be July 30th. At House of 1000 Beers. It's not free. I'm sorry. You do have to pay for the beer and the ice cream, but it's really reasonable, $20 for members, $30 for non. And then our big event that Hype has become known for will be our second annual Tossin' for Good Cornhole Tournament. That's August 24th at Adams Township Community Park. And we wanted something with both of these events that was fun, that would appeal to younger members, but would also appeal to all of our members. So the Tossin' for Good Cornhole Tournament allows us to put teams of two together, and they're competing for prize baskets, but they're also competing for a portion of the proceeds to go to the chamber member nonprofit of their choice. So at least two nonprofits, the choice of first place and second place, will receive a portion of the proceeds. Last year, we gave three nonprofits almost $1,000. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible response. We had people asking us at the event, you're doing this next year, right?
Tossin' for Good.
Exactly.
Isn't it wonderful, folks? You listen to, I mean, this is the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber, but look how many events are, you know, literally right in our own backyard. That tournament is going to be at Adams Township Community Park in southern Butler County. Our public speaking workshop coming up in just a couple of weeks is going to be in Wexford. Many of the activities that you were talking about, Melissa, are in our own backyard. In fact, there's one coming up in September in Cranberry.
Yeah, so that's actually our Innovation Pittsburgh event that we put on twice a year. This topic is going to be based on transportation. We've been hearing a lot from different business owners that they have a hard time finding people to work for them. Mm-hmm. You can see maybe as you drive down the road, there's a lot of now hiring signs. People are almost competing between different businesses for those employees. And a big issue is the lack of transportation in the area. So this is going to be a forum that we are bringing together some of those top people who influence transportation, like the Port Authority, Uber, and other influential people who can make those decisions, to get them together in a room and to have a panel so business owners can ask questions, and then they can also talk about upcoming plans that they have to help increase our transportation options for people.
Update on the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber here on WISR today. Nice to talk with Melissa Leedy again. Good to see you. And nice to meet you, Lisa Hunt.
Yeah. Nice to meet you as well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. A couple of program notes. Tomorrow, the president of Butler County Community College will be our guest. Dr. Nick Newpower will be stopping by. And a reminder that on Friday, day after tomorrow, we're taking the program on the road. We'll be broadcasting It's Your Turn live from Lake Arthur Country Club on Friday, starting at 12:30. So hope you can be with us for that. And a program note tonight, we have Pirate Baseball again here on WISR. Airtime 6:55 for Pirate Baseball live from Atlanta tonight here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Sing it with a cry.